all of these professional...
NCAA didn't even pay their players.
Don't get me started on the NCAA, dude. Actually, the devil's work. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Millenniotic, the podcast where a couple millennials discuss society, entertainment, and the logistics of life. I am AJ.
I'm Jason, and this is our 18th episode. We're pushing towards that episode 20.
Can't wait.
But be sure to follow us on all of our social medias where you can find clips of our podcast. You can also listen to us wherever podcasts are found, Spotify, iTunes, SoundCloud. Not SoundCloud.
iHeartRadio?
Forget SoundCloud. iHeartRadio.
iHeartRadio.
Yeah. Fuck SoundCloud.
We ain't no SoundCloud rappers.
No, we are not. But you can also watch us on YouTube where you can find our podcast. And be sure to tune in and give us a subscribe.
Heck yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So this week,
yes,
let's talk about pro gaming and esports in general.
Yeah.
I think this is a good topic to bring up because it's a growing industry.
It's
for
huge.
Sure. A lot of games have created their own esports leagues within the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to go over four different leagues and how they operate. We couldn't really get any amount of money that they make. That's really that's kind of classic.
No.
That's a little too deep for us to just find on Google.
Yeah.
But we can discuss how the players are paid.
Yeah.
And for the most part, we can get a general amount of revenue that they
make. Because we talked about NFL and stuff like that last week. So
right.
Figured it was a good transition since everybody seems to be saying how like popular esports are going to become.
Exactly.
And I got a question for you.
Sure.
On our ranking from last week as most dangerous, least dangerous sports, where would you put esports?
Esports?
Yeah.
I would say it's pretty safe. Although the long-term effects would maybe not be as good if you think of obesity.
Obesity, carpal tunnel.
Carpal tunnel.
No ergonomics.
Yeah, you can mess up your spine pretty easily if you have the wrong posture. I wouldn't be surprised if pro gamers had like shoulder problems and wrist problems and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I have a question I want to ask you.
Yeah, shoot.
Hypothetical situation, of course.
Mm-hmm.
If you were offered to become a professional gamer, esports gamer, to whatever game you wanted to become, would you accept?
I probably wouldn't.
No.
I probably wouldn't just because they might not necessarily be paid like professional sports players. We'll get into that. But they are definitely treated as such in the fact like they have like pretty like extensive long training regimens and everything like that. They're going to be playing those games for a long period of time.
A lot.
All the time.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't think I would.
I would absolutely.
Yeah, you would.
And it's mainly because I would feel confident in being able to take that career and then making it something bigger when I decide that I'm going to be done with a game, for instance. So,
yeah, that's true.
You know, there's a few streamers that
I
watch on the Overwatch and, you know, they used to be professional and they use that as a platform to get their name out there.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's true.
And then create a personality on Twitch.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep,
so
absolutely.
I feel like that's what I would do is I would use that as the base and then build on it from there. Cause I feel like I can create some pretty decent content because, you know, I can create videos,
which is pretty much what most of those professional players do because they need kind of that extra income. You can't really bank on professional sports alone. I mean, even
the salaries are not very
good. I mean, even regular just like baseball players and stuff like that, they're going or NBA players, they eventually go on to own their own teams or own their own brands. Like, that's what they do.
Companies, a lot of them own their own charities, nonprofits.
So even Shaquille O'Neal, he has a doctor. Like, he has a doctorate degree.
Does he really?
I think it's in, like, journalism or something like that, but, you know.
I mean, he does pre- and post-game coverage for TNT.
Yes. But that's what I mean. I'm almost certain he has, like, a doctorate degree in something.
Right.
So you're not just a professional athlete. Even when you're playing normal sports.
I think, for the most part, professional athletes do a good job at diversifying the money that they make from their sport into other things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, LeBron owns Blaze Pizza.
Yeah.
He owns a crap ton of those.
Mm-hmm.
So
exactly.
That makes him money, as well as, you know, another good example would be, let's see, Michael Jordan? He has his own brand, right?
Yeah. So, Air Jordans, you know, maybe.
So that makes a lot of money for him on top of the fact that he made a decent amount and now he owns a team, by the way.
Yep, of course. See, that's what I'm saying. They diversify their money.
But there's stories that I heard. Mm-hmm. There's one defenseman named Jack Johnson. I don't actually know what team he plays for. I think it's the Pittsburgh Penguins at this time. Mm-hmm. But when he was in Columbus, he trusted his parents to actually invest his money for him. And they blew it. They blew millions of dollars.
Yeah, I mean, Macaulay Culkin learned that early on. Don't trust your parents with your money.
So,
I mean, if we go...
I mean, obviously you trust your parents, but sometimes...
If we go to, like, esports people, I mean, I'm pretty sure Ninja's wife is his manager.
That's a case for a lot of things.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's mainly because he makes so much money, it doesn't actually matter what he does with it.
Pretty much.
Yeah, he makes an insane amount of money.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he got paid... Uh-huh. Like, what was it, 50, 60 million to leave Twitch and go to Mixer?
Go to Mixer.
Yep. Shroud was the same thing, too. Mm-hmm. Shroud left Twitch and went to Mixer.
Oh, but it wasn't just for the money, AJ.
Of course. Shroud, when he was on Twitch, was like 35,000 average views, and now he's at like 6 or something on Mixer.
Yeah. So,
in case you're wondering if Mixer is as popular or any of the other platforms as Twitch, you're wrong.
Which is like... So how can those people say that it wasn't just for the money that they made the switch when they're losing all of those followers just to do it?
But they're making so much money.
As is.
I would take that.
That's true.
I would take that.
It's true.
I don't... Like, being famous to me is actually kind of like a scary thought.
Ooh,
I don't want to be recognized walking down the street.
Yeah, to be in, like, that much of a, like, a public eye.
But I feel like if you're in the esports, for the most part, you could, like, hide your identity pretty well. Because, obviously, you have, like, a gamer tag.
Mm-hmm.
And you're really not, like, showing your face for the most part.
Yeah. So, a really good question that we came up with in this is just how much esport players are paid. So, should we talk about that?
Yeah, let's go league by league now.
League by league?
And kind of talk about each league
mm-hmm.
and, you know, general revenue numbers or whatever we can find, general viewership, and the salaries that the players make and all that kind of stuff. Because it's quite staggering.
It's crazy. It's all over the place, really.
It is. It's very much all over the place. Yeah. So you want to start with what you got? Certainly. I know you got one of the bigger
games. I have one of the bigger games. So we have League of Legends.
League of Legends, lol.
League of Legends is the number one ranked average viewership on Twitch.
Okay.
With a total of, oh goodness gracious, 174,000 viewers.
Per hour?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure per, not per, I think it's per day.
Per day,
yes. Okay. Because it's like you go on Twitch at like certain times, they only like have like a couple thousand, but I'm pretty sure it's per day.
I guess that makes sense because there's not all, like the most popular streamers aren't all on all the time.
Mm-hmm,
I guess that makes sense.
And so by month, they have 100 million monthly active users.
That play League of Legends.
That play League of Legends.
Now, that's like a quarter of America.
Exactly. Now you compare that to Dota 2, 13 million active users per month. That's a huge difference. And obviously,
same game type.
It's same game type. And obviously, you think to yourself, lower player base, lower viewer base, lower monthly that they're going to, or lower that they're going to make
as a pro player.
As a pro player. However, Dota 2 has, so Valve, they are the king of microtransactions within their games.
Absolutely.
They've always been.
Yep.
So in Dota 2, 25% of that contributes to their prize pools for their Dota 2 International. So,
which is a huge event.
Which is huge.
It's a huge event.
Which is huge. So Valve itself contributes for their main international event $1.6 million.
So they contribute $1.6 million.
Yeah. So that's already a good chunk of change.
That's not terrible.
Do you know how much is contributed through crowdfunding?
No.
$18.6 million.
Woo!
And that was in 2017. Now it's up to their total value is $33.4 million.
In a prize pool.
Was their international nine in a prize pool. They still only contributed $1.6 million.
Oh, my God. That's so much. That is so much crowdfunding
compared to League of Legends that has 100 million active users. Only had a prize pool of $6.4 million.
Good chunk of change.
Still a good chunk of change.
But it doesn't sniff the 33 or whatever you said, right?
No, not at all.
Oh, my God.
So it's just like, that's just like a testament to how good Valve is with their microtransactions just for your, what's it called? Your
skins.
Your skins. All that like accoutrement.
You Have you ever bought any microtransaction skin cosmetic things in any of these MOBAs? Because for the most part, MOBAs are free to play and they make a lot of their money off of buying an in-game currency to buy something.
So never in MOBA I spent $30 for Smite's like god pack just so I could play every god, obviously. So
I forgot
it's just
about
basically
that.
You spent like $30 to own the game as opposed to do a free to play. So I wouldn't really consider that. However, on Rocket League, it got to the point where I had so many chests that I was like, all right, I'll spend like $5 on some keys just to see what I get for some skins. You know what I'm saying?
I've bought like $20 of keys.
Yeah,
Rocket
exactly.
League,
I think it was just Rocket League that I've really done that for.
I've done it for, I think it was 2 Smite skins. I think I bought 2
okay,
Smite
fair
skins.
Enough. Yeah.
It was like $10 total.
Like I have a list of like the top 5 prize pools for those for that year, and we have Dota 2 obviously at the top. Fortnite was $30.4 million, just below that.
That's a fat prize pool still. And Fortnite is one of the bigger games.
Yep.
Free to play.
Yep.
Tons of microtransactions again. Tons.
Absolutely.
Like a ton of skins. Mm-hmm. The battle pass, I believe, costs money.
Yep.
All of that kind of stuff.
And then you go down, obviously, to League of Legends was just the third one, only at $6.4 million. And then you just have a couple of random ones that are about like $2 million, like Smite World Champ.
Oh, yeah.
And Call of Duty, which was $2
million. Call of
Duty. Smite World Champ was actually $2.6 million.
Okay.
However, those esports players, on average, for, I believe it was a League of Legends player, only makes about $1,000 to $4,000 a month. Seeing as how the minimum pay for any of those people for a 28-match season is at least $12,000.
$12,000.
So
about
$1,000
a month.
Yeah, so most of their revenue for playing those games, not including Twitch, like you would say, is simply from prize money. Because when I looked up highest paid highest paid pro sports players, most of them was just like 2018 they made like $17,000 because that was just from their salary. But if they won, say last year, it was about $1 million is how much they earned. So it's a big difference, and it really just relies on how well you play and whether you win those big championships.
Have you ever played in like a LAN tournament or anything like that for any games?
No. LAN tournaments. I'm pretty sure I did one at middle school for like Halo 2 once.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, it was just a bunch of like friends and stuff like that, but that was it.
Nice.
We had like
I always wanted to do
it. Was great.
Like an actual tournament where you would go in, there'd be PC set up or whatever, and you would like do that kind of thing. That would have been fun. I don't think I was good enough at any game to do that.
There was
though.
A private one, actually, now that you mention it, that I was a part of for World of Warcraft 2, where it was basically, so it was like a private group of like 36 different people, and we made teams for it was 4v4, but so we based it on World War 2. So each team was like a different faction. So you had the US, you had the Soviet Union, you had Japan, and then you had Germany.
Okay.
And that's what it was. Yeah.
Was it like
every week we would have like a different matchup between each of the people, and we had a full like bracket.
So that was a PvP arena kind of thing?
Yeah, it was.
That was actually pretty big in WoW. Was like the PvP thing. So I got information on the Overwatch League.
Yep.
Of course.
Obviously.
And the NBA 2K League. Both started the same year in 2018. So the average salary, well, I guess you could say the minimum salary for an Overwatch League player is $50,000 a year.
Oof.
And that includes health benefits, retirement plan, housing.
Yeah.
And then food.
Oh, yeah. Most esports teams, they
covered,
have like a group house.
Right.
Because they want to encourage like that team play.
And also just not having to take all their money that they're giving them. I guess it makes sense. I'm pretty sure the owners of a lot of
actually
these teams
make that
it.
Like measly like couple grand a month worth it to them, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
That
it's
way,
at least
paid
all
for housing.
Of it is coming to them.
Yeah, which I mean, they do get to live in some nice houses. I've seen.
Oh yeah,
so far, yeah,
for sure.
Yeah,
and
some real nice places in like LA and everything.
Yeah, mansions, like legitimately
mansions
and stuff. Yeah. So the highest paid one is a guy named Sinatra. He makes $150K a year on his contract.
Oh, wow.
But the price pool for the Overwatch League is about $5 million.
Yeah.
But that it's a little different this season than it's going to be in the last few seasons. And this they're going into their third year. And this year, they're making it home in a way kind of set up where the teams are actually traveling to cities to play away games, and then they're also hosting homestands.
Yeah.
So they're going to really, when it comes to the prize pool, I have no idea how it's going to work because they're no longer doing stages. And that was one way they had the prize pool split up is at every stage winner got a little bit of the prize pool. And then at the end, I think
they had a grand prize.
Right. The grand prize is like $1 million or something for the team.
Yeah.
Pretty decent chunk of change.
And it's kind of a smart strategy for incentive for those esports players too, seeing as the fact as opposed to having to keep playing and playing and playing in hopes to finally win this final grand prize, they're actually like earning at least some smaller prizes for incentive over the course of the season, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
A lot of these esports leagues have tournaments inside of the seasons.
Yeah, it's true.
To, you know, give prize pools and possibilities to other teams instead of just like an all or nothing kind of thing, which makes sense.
That's true.
It makes sense. It encourages teams to not get down when, you know, they're struggling through a certain thing. It's funny that these players get paid $50,000 minimum, right? Because the buy-in to buy a team in the Overwatch League.
Yep.
$20 million.
Yeah, it's insane.
So the owners of these teams are giving them some pretty fat cash to Blizzard.
Yeah, League of Legends is $10 million.
That's a good chunk of change.
Yeah,
this has 20 teams, and they play 28 games.
Yep.
League of Legends is, what, 10 teams?
It's 10 teams, $10 million for a team. And it's like, those investors really did buy those teams, because like you had Bob Kraft, who bought the Boston Overwatch team.
Yep, Boston Uprising.
Like, there are some big investors who must have paid that much money for those, but it's like, if those teams are really worth that much money, why are they only getting paid like
exactly
six figures? Where's
this discrepancy?
Where's that discrepancy? Where's that money at? Like, how much is the total of esports even worth?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's an interesting thing, because with the Overwatch League, they just made a deal with YouTube to stream on YouTube for $160 million.
Oh my God.
Add that on top of the fact that each of these teams have paid $20 million.
Yep.
20 times 20. Right? Yep. And then if they add any more teams at a higher price, plus the YouTube deal, not including sponsorships.
Yeah, so that's $560 million right there just from that YouTube and those teams.
I'm sure it's around $1 billion. Sure they make around $1 billion.
Yeah, they say like most of the things are just like, oh, it's like a $1.6 billion enterprise. And it's like, yeah, it probably is.
Right.
But I don't know. It begs the question, do you really think that esports is going to be bigger than the NFL?
The NFL?
Like they say.
No.
No.
Are they bigger than some sports now? Yes. I would say absolutely. More people probably tune in to watch the League of Legends championships than maybe watch a regular season MLS game or an MLB game.
Yeah.
You know?
True. Yeah.
Because, you know, the League of Legends on Twitch got like, you know, it was like 240,000 views.
Yeah.
Viewers at a time when they were during the championships and stuff. So it's a pretty big it's a pretty big base. So the sponsorship opportunities are there too for these games to make all of this money.
Yeah, it's true.
So it's pretty interesting that like Blizzard's making $1 billion off of this and they're paying their gamers $50K. Here's the thing, though.
Yep.
It's kind of the same thing in real sports, if you think about it.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
I think it's the New York Knicks are worth $4 to $6 billion.
No. Yep.
And in reality, if you make if you're worth $6 billion,
yeah,
and you're paying your players, and I think the salary cap's like $180 million. Where's the rest of that money
going? Where's the rest of that money?
The owner's pockets, by the way.
Yeah.
So the like all
NCAA
of these professional
didn't even pay their players.
Don't get me started on the NCAA, dude. Actually, the devil's work. How they've gotten this far without paying any other athletes blows my fucking mind.
Yeah,
it really does.
Yeah.
Because these schools are making so much money from these amateurs who are putting their you know, livelihoods on the line. Yeah. Say they get injured in a college game and can't even go pro. It doesn't matter to them because they're already making the money off of the viewership and stuff like that. So they are trying to figure out a way to like,
it's like, meanwhile, you have those amateur sports players who are just like regular Twitch streamers who aren't like signed to any teams. Like there are like Twitch streamers. Like I think her name was Pokimane.
Yeah.
She like has like a net worth of like $2 million.
Yep.
It's insane just from Twitch alone.
So it begs the question, is it worth becoming a big streamer or a pro gamer? Right.
Or just, or like you said, just use pro gamer to get into Twitch streaming.
Like that's, I think that's the easy way to do it. If you can become a pro gamer in something to have a base already.
Yeah, but that's a good question, is how do you even become a pro gamer? Most of my stuff that I was finding on League of Legends or anything like that was really just, it's all in who you know and who you play with. Like, you're playing those games, and it's all about just, like, whether you pop off in the right random queue for, like, some random...
Yeah,
and
in
say,
the right server, right?
Or even if you're just, like, not even in... You have to, like, be in team chat or just anything and just somehow randomly be playing with some pro streamer or pro player who's just playing some random role queues or, you know, like that. It's just... It's all about that. It's all about getting into the masters, like, just getting into those masters, like, queues... And playing with those people and then talking to them and conversing.
Exactly.
And then eventually maybe you'll get signed if you play with them enough and become friends. But it's, that's all luck.
So Overwatch is a little different when it comes to your path to a pro. Mm. They actually have a decent infrastructure set up. I say decent, not good.
Yeah.
It's decent.
Okay.
The infrastructure is there. So what they have is they have an open division.
Mm.
So you could get five of your friends.
Mm-hmm.
And join this open division where you would play matches. And eventually, if you're good enough and you win the entire open division, you can go to a thing called Contenders Trials.
Okay.
So from Contenders Trials, you get all of these teams.
Yep.
Most of which are minor league teams to the Overwatch League.
Yep.
So using Contenders Trials, if you manage to get through Contenders Trials, you become a Contenders team.
Yeah.
For that season. Yep. I believe you have to requalify for Contenders every year.
Mm.
But the Contenders players don't make jack crap.
Yeah, of course they do.
Right?
No.
So you're grinding through the open division to Contenders to possibly get signed on one of these, you know, called Academy or minor league teams for the Overwatch League.
Mm-hmm.
But does that actually mean it's worth it?
Yeah, it's true.
Is it worth
grinding? Yeah.
And what's called scrimming for 8+ hours a day, and then grinding the competitive ladder to improve your skills enough to become a pro gamer in Overwatch.
All without getting paid that entire time.
For the most part,
that's one hell of an internship.
It is. Like, it is.
When you think about it.
Internship. It's funny because it'll get you nothing in the end still.
So there you go. So that's what I'm saying. I'm just comparing. But there you go. That's the difference between a well-established league that's been doing it for a long time versus someone who's jumping into it and jumping in at the peak of esports currently, trying to establish some kind of a system to find their pro players. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously with Overwatch, it's a very team-based game.
Mm-hmm.
So you're able to communicate with players. So if you see that you have an Overwatch League pro on your team, you're more inclined to pop off.
Yes, you are.
And more inclined to talk to them and converse and that kind of stuff. But for the most part, they're scouts in Overwatch. And
and
they're watching the contenders and they're checking out the talent and that kind of thing. A lot of the esports leagues in general don't allow people under the age of 18 to play in their leagues. You have to be at least 18.
I can see
So there's a ton of like 16, 17 year olds who are good enough to play in a lot of these esports leagues but can't.
Mm-hmm.
They have to wait till they're 18.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows if they're going to lose interest by then or get worse somehow or get into something controversial, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Because that's a big thing nowadays is if you say the wrong thing once, you're kind of...
Yeah.
You're out.
Yeah, exactly.
And like, you're most likely not going to get
especially if you stream, you know?
Exactly.
You say the wrong thing while streaming, it's going to be on the internet forever.
But if you're an NFL player and you hit your kid with a stick, you get suspended 4 games and then you get signed by a new team. It's fine, dude.
So,
it's fine.
Oh, my God.
Talk about effed up systems, dude.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. The whole, I don't know if you know about like the whole Tyreek Hill thing from this last offseason.
No.
Apparently, like, there's audio records of him like talking with his like girlfriend, wife or whatever, and he's like threatening to break her arm like he broke his kid's arm or something like that.
Oh my gosh.
I think he got suspended for like 2 to 4 games or whatever. And he's still playing, it's fine. A complete asshole is just, like, but the thing is, it's one of those things where it's a talent thing.
Yeah.
He's so good. You're willing to try to keep him around and hope he doesn't F up again.
Yeah, that's what HR that's what HR is for.
Or not.
Or no, that's what your PR person's for.
Yeah, trying to fix that crap. Recently, that the NBA actually partnered with a company called Take Two Interactive. I don't know why I say Two Take. It's a Two Take.
It might be their logo. Kind of looks like a two before the take. Maybe, I don't know.
I think I'm just stupid.
You probably are.
Take Two Interactive, it's a 50-50 split. So they introduced the 2K League, it's called.
Yep.
So what's interesting about this league is that they don't pay their players crap still. Yep. Shocking.
Yeah,
right?
They pay them like garbage.
But it's more of like a real sports experience when you're going through the entire grind.
Yeah, because so, it's NBA.
Right. So the entire process to get, you know, put into the quote-unquote draft, because there's actually a draft.
Yeah.
So in order to get into the draft, you have to compete in a certain number of games and be at a certain level in what's called the Pro-Am game series in the 2K game. If you don't know what that is, it's pretty much you pick a certain archetype of player with, you know, there's dozens I'm not even going to go over. But there, you pick an archetype that has like a certain player level, and you play with 4 other players.
Okay.
And so it's a 5-on-5 kind of game.
Yeah.
So from there, you play a number of games, you get a rank, you submit an application, and then you can get, and if you're good enough, you get asked to go to a combine.
See, now that's not bad. I like that.
It's interesting because this is kind of like a real life when it comes to real sports.
Yeah.
Getting to the draft. You go through the combine, you do your workouts, you get scouted by teams.
Yep.
So if you get drafted in the first round in the 2K league, your salary is $35,000 a year.
Yes.
Otherwise, it's $32,000.
Okay. But it's like, I mean, that's just like your average minimum wage job in like the U.S. So it's not that bad. Plus, if you're good enough, you can get those prizes. Also, if you're a good enough personality, you can make some good money on Twitch.
Yeah.
Like, it's
and
not
of
terrible.
Course, sponsorships are... They encourage you to get sponsorships if you're part of an esports team.
Yeah, and I mean, it's obviously appealing to those people who aren't necessarily gamers, but people who just really like sports and also sports games.
So the prize pool for the 2K League is like 300 grand for the league champions get about 300 grand. They split between the team and that.
Yeah, so if
it's
a team of 5 people, like a 5-player NBA team, that's still not terrible.
No, it's not.
It's like 60 grand a pop.
Yeah, it's really not that bad, but like, is it still worth it? You know, like it's very interesting, like going through all of this information about the different kinds of sports leagues, and I think you have some on one game that's been around for quite a long time, and it's been around for so long it actually went free to play recently. It's CS:GO.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
So CS:GO is one of the it was kind of. I don't know if it was necessarily the...
Like the pioneer?
The pioneer, thank you. The pioneer of like the esports tournaments and big prize pools and all this kind of stuff.
I think that kind of goes to Quake a little bit more.
I would agree. Quake tournaments were pretty insane.
Yeah, I think like the whole like Unreal tournament and Quake and stuff like that really started all, but CS:GO is like what made it like real big.
I think it made it more mainstream.
Absolutely. But it's just with... When it comes to all of this, any time that we were trying to search for things when it came to money or anything, like searching for a sports league, I always found that it was more about how much do esports players make? What does it take to become an esport? Kind of just really like jazzing up what it's like to be a sports player and also how much money this league is worth and stuff, where it's just like, oh, it's going to be a $1.4 billion industry. It's going to be bigger than the NFL. And it just sounded to me like a bunch of boomers being like not quite understanding the younger generation. It's just like, this is going to make so much money because all the kids are into it. Invest now. Like, this is how much it's going to be worth. Pay $20 million for a team. We're not necessarily making that much money right now, but we're making it from you guys.
Just by creating the entity that is the Overwatch League, they made $1 billion.
Yeah, they're really good salespeople.
Apparently.
Like, that's what
Or they just rub the elbows, the right elbows, right?
That's true.
You know? the Overwatch League is very much a global entity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of esports want to be able to expand globally for sure, because you can play any game in any region for the most part, as long as there's a server that supports it.
Yeah.
So I know League of Legends has a pretty big one in Europe as well as NA.
Yep. I mean, maybe it could be as big as soccer.
Nothing's going to be as big as soccer. It's actually crazy how big soccer is.
It's true.
I didn't look it up. Yeah. I wonder how big the FIFA league is.
Oh, it's
if there is a FIFA league.
Yeah.
I feel like that would be a very popular game.
I mean, it's true. It probably will never be as big as soccer, because all you need to play soccer is a ball. What do you need to play video games? A computer and some internet connection, which most of the world doesn't have.
Yeah, or a console and a controller, right? Yeah, something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's an interesting point.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something like 0.1% of the gamer population are what you would call pro,
mm-hmm.
right? You would say yes. pro gamer. So if you're looking at your odds of becoming a pro gamer, not good.
Slim to none.
You have to be really fortunate enough to actually be decent at a game.
Yep.
And to get in front of the right eyes.
Yeah, exactly.
And
you
then
have to have the talent.
And then not be able to mess up somehow by That's saying true. The wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or just constantly getting better, and then willing to grind
yeah.
through the process of becoming a pro, because
yep.
it is a job.
Yeah, it's true.
And even if you're not getting paid for it sometimes, mm-hmm. it's a job.
Yep. Meanwhile, with YouTube, you don't even necessarily need the talent. You just need the right eyes.
Exactly. You just need enough of them.
You just need enough of
exactly.
them.
Exactly. Yeah. It's kind of similar when you think about it,
mm-hmm.
because you can get lucky enough in both instances of becoming what you would want, which is, you know, either a YouTuber, a live streamer, or a professional esports player.
Yes, it's true.
Because it's all online.
Yeah.
It's really all about the eyes.
Yes, it is.
And what ads they see, because that's what actually makes them money.
Mm-hmm.
So I know recently Twitch allowed streamers to actually control how many ads they play.
Oh, they can control their mid-rolls now, huh?
Yeah.
Oh.
So I know YouTube did that recently,
too. Yeah, they've been doing that for a while now.
So, and it's interesting because there's a lot of different kinds of streaming platforms nowadays. And we talked about that earlier, where Mixer is Microsoft's, and they're literally just buying people. They're buying personalities, and it's not really working.
No.
So there's like Mixer, there's Facebook Gaming.
Yep.
I would never watch something on Facebook Gaming.
Not at all. I saw an ad for it once. I saw like a random promoted Facebook streamer, and I was like, no.
What? And then obviously there's Twitch, which is owned by the giant
Facebook
corporation
for memes.
Of Amazon.
Get this out of here. So we talked a lot about money today.
We did.
Would you say?
There's a lot of money in esports.
There's a lot of money in esports. And one thing that we talked about was like those pro sports players, those NBA guys who diversify their money. Those esports players, they're pretty young. It's a very young demographic of like 18 to 25.
If you're over 25 in the esports world, you're a boomer.
Yeah, you are.
You're a boomer.
You're a boomer. Yeah. And it's like, do you really think that those guys really diversify themselves very well, or like invest in other like attributes?
They have no idea what's going on.
No.
Like they're literally just sitting there playing games. They have no idea what's going on.
Like they're making their money. They're just thinking about that grind.
Exactly.
Like they're just making that money. They're not really doing anything. Well, like they're obviously buying houses and stuff like that.
Possibly.
Possibly, but they're just making their money. That's all they're doing, playing those games. And I think that's kind of what I want to talk about with next week's episode, is how to invest your money and whether like say it's worth it to invest or save.
Right. And the differences and the kind of vehicles that there are out there, because there's so many different kinds of vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited because I want to learn about the different kinds of ways you can invest.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not going to talk about Bitcoin, people.
No.
I would not recommend Bitcoin.
No, Bitcoin is literally chasing a rainbow.
And we're also, and I would also say that your money sitting in a savings account isn't going to work for you either. So this is definitely going to be an educational episode, and I'm looking forward to it because eventually we're all going to need to retire.
Yeah, we are.
And the way that we get to our retirement goal
could
be very different, and everybody has their own kind of strategy. So let's talk about the different kinds of strategies next week. But until then, let's get this bread.
Acquire that grain.
Till this week.
Have a great week.